For one, the patriarch presided over a central imperial church. Appointments to the great monasteries, to the bishoprics, all went through him. Now, he might consult with the emperor, and there are times when the emperor would interfere with papal elections or the patriarchal elections or the consecration of a bishop. But on the whole, there was only so much the emperor could do on that. And very often they would be in agreement on these issues of who would be appointed. This also meant that the bishops, archbishops, the great abbots of the Byzantine world spent a good deal of their time in Constantinople, angling for advantages, angling for translation, that is, a move to a more lucrative see. You didn't want to be bishop of Caesarea. If you could be bishop of Ephesus, you'd get closer to Constantinople. There's that kind of intrigue going on. And in addition, the patriarch had at his disposal a number of powerful monasteries in the city of Constantinople, including the monastery of St. Theodore of the Studion. And if the emperor ever really gave him any trouble over religious matters, he could simply put the word out and 10,000 monks would take to the street rioting. And believe me, the patriarch, when he wished, could start a riot very easily. That's done in 1054. In the period of the Great Schism, the issue of the Great Schism, the patriarch simply orchestrates a riot to discredit the Western Europeans. Now, the patriarch also, as well as the emperor, felt that they had some kind of spiritual authority for the wider Orthodox world. If the Byzantine Empire was more than just its political boundaries, so was the spiritual world of Byzantine Orthodoxy. The Patriarch of Jerusalem, the Patriarch of Alexandria in Egypt, the Patriarch of Antioch in Syria, which for most of the period was under Muslim rule, the last, and only recently put back under Byzantine rule, all three of those patriarchates were seen as symbolically linked to Constantinople. The various Eastern Orthodox populations, as well as Monophysites, Nestorians, all sorts of other Christian confessions living under Muslim rule, were seen as somehow under the spiritual authority and protection of the emperor in Constantinople and under the spiritual guidance of the patriarch in Constantinople. This was seen very often in the iconography. Even in such a late church as the Church of the Savior in Kora, if you look at all the saints, they're the saints that come from the whole Orthodox world, saints from Persia, from Egypt, from Dalmatia, today Yugoslavia, well beyond the frontiers of the Byzantine Empire. And there was a sense of a wider Eastern Orthodox commonwealth, which was very real to the Byzantines. So the Byzantine emperor was certainly concerned about Jerusalem. Byzantine emperors actually donated a great deal of money to the reconstruction of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Basil II was the first to do so in 1001. Several of his successors greatly extended the size of that church. But on the whole, they had no need to conquer and occupy Jerusalem because everyone knew Constantinople was the new Jerusalem. This gets me to another important point. Well, if this is the case, if the patriarch held such a prominent role in Constantinople, what was his relationship to the Pope? And this is an issue that's going to keep reoccurring throughout the period of the Crusades. The emperor, Alexis I, issued an appeal for military aid. And the primary person he went to in Western Europe was the Pope. And there's going to be reasons for that, not to all the kings of Europe. Well, popes and patriarchs had a dispute going back well into the late Roman period. And popes always insisted that they were the foremost patron see. In the great councils of the 4th century, this was upheld at several occasions, at Constantinople in 381, at Chalcedon in 451. However, the patriarch in Constantinople argued that by being bishop of the new Rome, he was on equality with the pope. He was, in Greek, autokephalia, that is, autonomous head. And there were other points of dispute between pope and patriarch. One would be, what happens in the event of an issue of doctrine? How is it solved? Well, by the time of the 11th and 12th century, it was very clear in the West that the pope could speak on doctrine as the successor of Peter. But in the patriarch's world, this could only be solved by an ecumenical council, where bishops from the entire Christian world come, and based on the authority of early Christian writers, would come to their decision. And this distinction, this is often known as conciliarism, that is the council, concilium in Latin. This tradition actually is still in Western European tradition, is late as the early 15th century. But it never has a chance to make itself felt in the Western Church. And so this led to constant misunderstandings. things. Emperors actually helped confuse the matter. Byzantine emperors were usually in contact with Rome. It's a fairly easy sail to get from Constantinople to Rome during sailing season.